Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. Amen. Imagine in your life, if you can, that you've never read the Bible. Imagine if you've never even heard the Bible actually being spoken to you that you could understand. Forget about all the church services that you've ever been to in your life. Forget all the Bible studies that you've attended. Forget about the days of your youth that you might have been in Sunday school. Never happened. Now imagine if you didn't have those things. Imagine if you didn't have someone in your life explaining the truths of God's word to you. Where would your faith rest in? What would your faith be in? How would you know about God? Would your picture of God look any different than it does right now? Maybe. It's kind of a scary thought. Now, imagine this. If you didn't actually have a Bible that you grew up with, you wouldn't hear these words. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You wouldn't hear that. Or maybe something different. How about for some of the people that really like the laws in our nation? We hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Or maybe, how about this for an example? How about we hear that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Or maybe something a little bit more familiar. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. If it wasn't for God's word being purely given to us, the message that we are saved by God's grace alone, and that we can only receive that forgiveness, that true love, that undeserved love, that grace, through the faith that is in our heart alone, we would be coming up with all sorts of concoctions and how we could get close to God if we didn't have the word of God telling us otherwise. That we are saved by faith. That whoever believes in the death and resurrection of Christ will be saved. If we didn't have God's word, we would be coming up with our word of our own. We would say, I could achieve my way into God's blessing. I could give to the poor. I could do hours of community service. I could pray unceasingly. I could give money to the church. All these things could grant me eternal life. But since we do have God's word, we know that those things aren't true. Nothing that we say or do can ever warrant us eternal life. Think about that. There is absolutely nothing in this world that we could do for God. It is purely that God has given us everything. And all it takes for us is to trust. To allow God to catch us when we sometimes might doubt. That's what faith is. It was demonstrated very, very fittingly by our two young ladies here in our children's message. Faith is that trust in God above all things, that we trust that what He has done for us is sufficient. We don't have to do so many good things to work our way back to God, that He has come down from heaven and entered our world and come to us, come to you, to bring you back to Him, because we couldn't do it on our own. That's the message of the Reformation. You see, up until 500 years ago, the people of God were living basically without God's word, purely taught, purely given to them. It's a luxury for us today to have God's word written. Some of us might have more than one Bible even in our homes. If you do, I encourage you to open them up. It would make this pastor very happy and make my job very easy. But that wasn't the case long ago. And if it was up to us, we would always want to say that there's something more that we could do. Something extra that we could give to God to make Him happy. But you know what the truth is? Why we celebrate faith alone in our churches today? The truth is that God is already happy with you. God is already overjoyed when He sees you do the things of God. When God sees you, even though you might wake up in the morning and see something very different in the mirror, when God sees you, He sees not all of our mistakes, not all of our sins, not all of our good things that we have done. God sees Himself. He sees His Son Jesus whenever He looks at you. And that is the most beautiful thing. And how might that happen? It's because Christ, by means of Him going to the cross, for paying for all the things that we couldn't do, for living and dying for you and then rising for you, that makes you His own. And so all it requires on your behalf is simply to sit back and trust in Him. And even though God does some very strange things in our reasoning, a God would die for you, trust and believe it. Because it's true. Because you are worthy enough to die for. See, that's the message that long ago a lot of people have lost. It's not about the multitude of sins that might still weigh on your heart. It's not about paying off the priests and popes. It's simply to rest secure knowing that you belong to God. Now, some might say that this gift of faith is also a work of ours, that we have to use our own power to believe in God. Well, that's not what Scripture says either. It's not of our own doing. It's a gift of God. I like to compare the gift of faith as a prosthetic arm that we are given when we're completely handicapped. And it's on Christmas morning that we're given a gift with a big red bow on it. And in order to open that gift, you have to use the prosthetic arm. That's the gift of faith. It's something that we can't even do on our own. And that's why we celebrate in our churches faith being proclaimed and given so powerfully, not only in God's word, but also in the sacraments, these mysteries of God. That's why they're such a big deal in our churches today, because that's where we see faith being the most apparent. You see bread and wine, and yet you have faith. You trust that that bread and wine is also God's body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. That mere water that washes on each child's head is what grants faith and creates faith and grows faith. And it's a simple gift because that baby wouldn't want it any other way. They couldn't have done it on their own. And that's what faith is all about. Realizing and trusting that God saved you when nobody could do it, you couldn't do it on your own. And that's a blessed hope that we today have that truth in our holy Bibles. And that's proclaimed each and every year for these 500 years since. And don't let any other church, don't ever let any other person tell you otherwise. That you have to do anything else for God. Even though it does make him happy, it doesn't warrant you salvation. Because that was already given to you. Now one more thing. Even though we have this luxury and privilege of hearing freely in our country God's word, of his grace given to you, even though we have our Bibles at our homes, there might be still some today that have never heard a word out of these Bibles, that have never seen a Bible. You might think they might be overseas in a different country. They're actually the block next door. 500 years still later, people still need to know what God has to say to them, what God has said to you. All it takes is a little bit of trust. We are saved by grace and faith alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.